Om Agnate Mirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Taksu Smritan Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavisham Stapitam Dena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Savanadikam Vansakokutu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Yesterday we completed the second chapter of the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, and that chapter spoke of the son of Priyavrata, whose name was Agnidra. Agnidra had a deep material desire, and he performed austerities and he worshipped to satisfy that desire, and he achieved it. A very, very, very beautiful wife who was like a demigoddess. She was a demigoddess named Purvachiti. And when they were together, Maharaj, the king, Agnidra, was so happy. But after 9 years and having 9 children, she left and went back to her heavenly home. And he couldn't keep his mind off of her. And knowing that he was a soul, he left this world, he died, thinking about her, and in his next life, he was again with her. So many lessons to be learned from that. Now, he had a son, or they had a son, whose name was... I think it was 9 sons. Yes, 9 sons. And one of their sons we're going to hear about in this third chapter, because this son, whose name was Nabi, from him came Rishabdev as a son. And Rishabdev was an incarnation of Krishna. He was the Lord adventing himself as the son of King Nabi and his queen, whose name was Meru Devi. Now, in this chapter, and again we're going to try to read the entire chapter, there's I think 20 verses or so, 20 verses. And in this chapter, Prabhupada's purports, his comments are very, very sweet and very simple, pointing to devotional service. They tend to be quite short and explaining how is it possible to have the Lord as a son or enter deeply into any relationship with God. Because practically speaking, most people, when they have a concept of God, some people don't even have a concept of God. Well, they're quite atheistical, but those who have concepts of God have a very vague, ethereal concept. And therefore, the capacity that they have to love God, the Lord, is also vague and ethereal. So as far as, more or less, not 100%, but practically speaking, most people have an impersonal concept of God. Impersonal meaning they think that the goal of religion and spirituality is to lose oneself, one's feeling of individuality within the Supreme. And those who aren't quite like this, but have a more personal conception of God, still really have no idea of who that person is. Who are they praying to? Who that Supreme is? So as far as I've seen, in Krishna consciousness, the concept of the Supreme Lord is very unethereal, very exacting, as Prabhupada would sometimes say. We can say so much about God. We can say His name, what He looks like, His father's name, His address. And then if one actually has if one actually knows about the qualities of the Supreme, then really one can love Him. And then one's love of the Supreme will carry one from the material world. Otherwise, it is practically impossible to get out of material desires, to free ourselves from material desires, and attain a truly spiritual life. Only if we have a very deep relationship with the all-lovable, the one who possesses all attractiveness. If we have that kind of relationship with that kind of person, then the love that we can develop, that we all long for, is unlimited. So Prabhupada's purports in this verse, in this chapter, I'll read most of them, practically speaking. And we'll see what is the process of gaining a relationship with God, with Krishna, where He is the Son, and one can give all one's love to Him in that relationship. So here is the beginning of the chapter. Sukadeva Goswami continued to speak. Maharaj Nabi, the son of Agnidra, wished to have sons, and therefore he attentively began to offer prayers and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the master and enjoyer of all sacrifices. Maharaj Nabi's wife, Meru Devi, who had not given birth to any children at that time, also worshipped Lord Vishnu along with her husband. So they were performing a sacrifice. Materialistic people and spiritual people perform sacrifices. It's impossible to live in this world without sacrifice. We have to give something to get something. Giving something means sacrificing. We give up our tendency to like to play all the time and waste time to get an education. And when the children don't want to give up that playful tendency, the parents insist, because they know how important that type of a sacrifice for education is. If we want to be expert in anything, whether it's knowledge, physical ability, some sport, or some technology, we have to sacrifice our time and other things. Nowadays they call that prioritizing. Because you can't do everything you want. So you have to decide, and certain things have to be sacrificed. If you want to get a fancy new car, you have to sacrifice your money. If you want this, you have to sacrifice that. So Maharaj Nabi was a religious person, and the difference between the way that religious people sacrifice and the way non-religious people sacrifice, everyone must sacrifice, is that religious people, they perform, even though they may have material desires, they go to God to have those desires fulfilled. And therefore, and the result of that is that they will get their desires fulfilled. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushapara. They will get their desires fulfilled, but in addition, they will become purified, and they will gain something more than their material desires, like Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted to gain a kingdom, and he performed very, very heavy, heavy austerities. Sacrificing. Austerities means sacrificing temporary pleasures. Going without sleep, going without eating. Physical austerities. Sacrifice. Sacrificing one thing to gain another. So he wanted to please the Lord. He wanted something quite materialistic. A huge kingdom. It wasn't an exalted spiritual desire that one would expect a saint to have. So he prayed to the Lord and he performed his austerities, performed his sacrifices. And when he eventually, due to his incredible determination, was in the presence of the Lord, the first thing that he understood was that this is much better than what I had wanted. He ended up getting his kingdom, but he got so much more, because what? What can equal intimacy with the Supreme? Nothing. This is what everyone is actually longing for. We think we want the kingdom. We think we want this. We think we want that. But nothing truly satisfies the heart except an intimate relationship with Krishna. So pious people, even if they have material desires, they turn to Krishna to have their material desires fulfilled. It's childish in a sense, as we'll hear in the purports. It's like going to a billionaire and making deep friendship with him and developing an intimacy with him. And then when he says, what do you want? I'll give you anything. You say, I'd like a new pen. Mine's out of ink. Well, he could give you 10 pen factories. What to speak of a pen? So going to God and asking him for even a kingdom is childish in a sense, but it's much better than trying to gain our desires in another way. The pious go to God to fulfill their material desires, not pure, but pious. The pure, when they go to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, they say, I don't want anything from you. I just wish to serve you. And that is my satisfaction. That is what love is. Love is giving, not asking. Not trying to get, but just to give. That is what love is. So those who are pure, those who are truly saintly, when they go to the Supreme Lord, when they go to Krishna, it is just out of loving service. They want to please him. So let's read. So Nabi, with his wife, who was also a great devotee, Merodevi, they went to perform a sacrifice. Text 2. In the performance of sacrifice, this was a Vedic ritualistic sacrifice with fire, and this and that, and ghee is formed into the fire, and different mantras, different hymns are chanted that have special potency, and they're chanted by special persons who have themselves have potency. So the object of these Vedic sacrifices are that if someone has a material desire, they will go and please the Lord and basically present their desire to him in this specific way, and they will have their desire fulfilled, and it will be purifying, and it will be purifying. So in the performance of sacrifice, there are 7 transcendental means to obtain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 1, by sacrificing valuable things or eatables, so offering some very valuable thing to the Lord. By acting in terms of place, by acting in terms of time, by offering hymns, by going through the priests, by offering gifts to the priest, and by observing the regulative principles. However, one cannot always obtain the Supreme Lord through this paraphernalia. So this is ritualistic. Nevertheless, the Lord is affectionate to his devotee. Therefore, when Maharaj Nabi, who was a devotee, worshipped and offered prayers to the Lord with great faith and devotion, and with a pure and uncontaminated mind, superficially performing some sacrifice in the line of pravagya, or trying to get something material, but he was a devotee, the kind Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to his affection for his devotees, appeared before King Nabi. So the Lord himself, which is very, very rare, the Lord himself actually appeared. He appeared before King Nabi due to his affection for his devotees. He appeared before King Nabi in his unconquerable and captivating form with 4 hands. In this way, to fulfill the desire of his devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested himself in his beautiful body before his devotee. This body pleases the mind and the eyes of the devotees. Here's Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said, Bhaktimam abhijananti yavanyas chajmi tatvata tatomam tatvato gyatva visiteta ranantana. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme by such devotion, when one actually loves him with a full heart, then the Lord reveals himself, because otherwise he's ajita, unconquerable. No matter how intelligent we are, no matter how much power we have, no matter what we have no ability by ourselves to understand him fully. But when he reveals himself out of his kindness, then we can understand. So the question is then, what to do, how to get God to fully reveal himself. So the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the prophet quotes, says, Bhakti mam abhijananti. Through bhakti, through loving devotion. Prabhupada's purport continues. One can understand and see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of devotional service, and not in any other way, through loving devotion manifested in service. Although Maharaj Nabi performed prescribed duties and sacrifices, it should still be considered that the Lord appeared before him not due to his sacrifices, but because of his devotional service. It wasn't due to his ritualistic performances. He did everything just right that the Lord appeared. Why he appeared is because he was a devotee. It was for this reason that the Lord agreed to appear before him in his beautiful bodily features. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, the Supreme Lord in his original nature is very beautiful. Venam kvanantam aravinda dalaya taksham paharvitam asam asitam buddha sundarangam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, although blackish, is very beautiful. Text 3. Lord Vishnu appeared before King Nabi with four arms. He was very bright, effulgent, and he appeared to be the best of personalities. Around the lower portion of his body he wore a yellow silken garment. On his chest was the mark of Srivatsa, which always displays beauty. He carried a conch shell, lotus flower, disc, and club. And he wore a garland of forest flowers and the Kastuba gem. He was beautifully decorated with a helmet, earrings, bangles, belt, pearl necklace, armlets, ankle bells, and other bodily ornaments bedecked with radiant jewels. Seeing the Lord present before them, King Nabi and his priests and associates felt just like poor people who have suddenly attained great riches. They received the Lord and respectfully bent their heads and offered him things in worship. Prabhupada explains in his purport, in the second half of his purport, he explains, Maharaj Nabi and his priests and associates all offered the Lord obeisances. They bowed down to him. And they began to worship him with various things. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yam labdva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tata. That is, upon gaining this, upon gaining the association of the Lord, one thinks that there is no greater gain. At this point, without the Lord's association, we are bahushaka. We have many branches in our desires, like a tree that goes this way and that with its branches. So similarly, our desires are many branches. But upon seeing the Lord and gaining him, one understands that there is nothing else that's actually worthy of being, of gaining in this world. Prabhupada continues, when one realizes God and sees the Lord face to face, one certainly thinks that he has gained the best of all things. Raso pyasya param drisvanavartate. When one experiences a higher taste, his consciousness is fixed. After seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one ceases to be attracted by anything material. One then remains steady in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Texts 4 and 5. The priests began to offer prayers to the Lord, saying, O most worshipable one, we are simply your servants. Although you are full in yourself, you have everything. That is the definition of the absolute truth. There is nothing independent or separate from him, yet that absolute truth is independent from everything. He is personal, like the king or the president or the prime minister. The whole government rests upon him, yet he's a person. Although you are full in yourself, please, out of your causeless mercy, accept a little service from us, your eternal servants. We are not actually aware of your transcendental form, but we can simply offer our respectful obeisances again and again, as instructed by the Vedic literatures and authorized acharyas, teachers. Materialistic living entities are very much attracted to the modes of material nature, and therefore they are never perfect. But you are above the jurisdiction of all material conceptions. Your name, your form, and qualities are all transcendental and beyond the conception of experimental knowledge. Indeed, who can conceive of you? If we try to understand who the Supreme is by our own power, what will we conceive of? All that we can conceive of is that he's beyond what we know. That is the limit that one can understand by his own power, that he is beyond. So therefore one will naturally come up with a vague and impersonal conception. So the priest and the sacrifice are saying, how could we have conceived that you actually, that the Supreme Lord actually has a form? How could we have conceived this by our own power? In the material world, we can perceive only material names and qualities. We have no other power than to offer our respectful obeisances and prayers unto you, the transcendental person. The chanting of your auspicious transcendental qualities will wipe out the sins of all mankind. That is the most auspicious activity for us, and we can thus partially understand your supernatural position, your transcendental position. Prabhupada explains in his purport, just a little bit into the purport. We cannot concoct the form and attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can understand by his own power, his own intelligence. We must simply accept the descriptions given in Vedic literatures about the Lord's form and activities. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakarasat Masukalpa Briksha Laksha Vriteshu Surabhi Abhirpalayantam Lakshmi Sahasvashaktasam Brahma Sevyamanam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of wish-fulfilling purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. We have some conception of the Absolute Truth, his form and his attributes, simply by reading the descriptions given in Vedic literatures and authoritative statements given by exalted personalities like Brahma, Narad, Sukadeva Goswami, and others. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Ataksi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai. We cannot conceive the name, form, and qualities of Sri Krishna through our material senses. Because of this, other names for the Lord are Adhokchaja and Aprakrita, which indicate that he is beyond any material senses. Out of his causeless mercy upon his devotees, the Lord appeared before Maharaj Nabi. Similarly, when we are engaged in the Lord's devotional service, the Lord reveals Himself to us. Sevan mukhihi jivadal sayam eva sparatyada. This is the only way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvata. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. There is no other way. So two no other ways are given here. The first is to actually understand God. One has to serve Him with great devotion. But then the question comes, well, how do we know what it is that we're serving? How can we have devotion for something that is beyond, that we really have no concept of? So some idea is given in the Shastras, in the scriptures, of exactly who the Supreme is. So Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Briksha. He is very, very wonderful. And in the spiritual world, he is playing his flute and he's tending cows. Very, 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 very wonderful. So beautiful. A beautiful bluish-blackish cow with a peacock in his head, with dancing eyes. Very beautiful, wearing a garland of forest flowers. So we can get some idea, but with our material mind, we cannot truly conceive of what that transcendental person is actually like and what is it like to see him. That we need very pure spiritual vision to understand. So two hints on how to proceed are given. Devotion. And we should understand what the Lord is, who the Lord is from the scriptures. And then offer our devotion in that way. Not to concoct, I think God is like this and I think God is like that. We'll never understand anything in that way. Well, what will we understand? We'll understand only our own mind. What we value in our own mind. We won't understand the Supreme Lord. So the priests were understanding that their position, once they saw the Lord, was to simply offer their obeisances. Because why? Because He is great and they are tiny and insignificant. O Supreme Lord, text 6, You are full in every respect. You are certainly very satisfied when your devotees offer you prayers with faltering voices and in ecstasy bring you tulsi leaves, water, twigs bearing new leaves and newly grown grass. This surely makes you satisfied. Purport. More hints on how to approach the Lord. See, this is what the Bhagavatam is doing. It's giving us the techniques of the science of Krishna consciousness. How to mold our consciousness in such a way that we can achieve what we are meant to achieve with our human life. Otherwise, we will just go here and there, wandering, following our minds, thinking only if I had that, only if I had that, getting that, being disappointed, then moving to this side, trying to get that, being disappointed, buying 1,000 of those, having 50% of them stolen. This, that, disappointment, trying, disappointment, until in our old age we'll be cynical, frustrated, envious of everyone who's young and who can still enjoy and jump. No more hope left in our hearts when we're old. Just waiting for the axe to fall, basically, trying to squeeze a little more of dull pleasure out of the practically dead body. So these hints are given. You can't really say that Prabhupada writes in hints. He writes directly and says what we should do. But we should hear them as advice, because he can't do it for us. We hear them as advice. And if we want to, we can move towards these things. So here, you are certainly very satisfied when your devotees offer you prayers with faltering voices in an ecstasy, bring you tulsi leaves, water, twigs bearing new leaves and newly... God is satisfied when you give him newly grown grass? See, a cow or something? No, but it's the ecstasy of devotion when things are offered to him. When someone offers him out of love, that is what satisfies him. Bhakti mama bhajanti. More hints. What should we offer to Krishna? Whatever it is, we should offer it with loving devotion. For his pleasure. Prabhupada's purport. One does not need great wealth, education, or opulence to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is fully absorbed in love and in ecstasy, being absorbed in him, he need only offer a flower and a little water. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam yomam bhakta prayasati. Bhakti paritam. If you bring me these things, Krishna says, asnami paritatna, I will accept them, I will take them, if it's done with bhakti or devotion. Prabhupada continues, the Supreme Lord can be pleased only by devotional service. Therefore it is said here that the Lord is surely satisfied by devotion and nothing else. Quoting from the Gautamiya Tantra, the Hari Bhakti Vilas states, Tulsi Dala Matrena Jalasya Chilukena Va Vikrinite Samatmanam Bhakti Bhyo Bhaktavatsala. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulsi leaf and a palmful of water. And what's the operative word? To a devotee who offers that. He cannot repay a devotee who one time, with full loving devotion, calls out his name, Govinda Krishna. A devotee means one who has devotion. The Supreme Lord is causelessly merciful upon his devotee, so much so that even the poorest of men can offer him a little water and a flower in devotion and thus please him. This is due to his affectionate dealings with his devotees. So the priest continued, we have engaged in your worship with many things and have offered sacrifices unto you. But we think there is no need for so many arrangements to please the Lord, to please your Lordship. Prabhupada's purport. Srila Rupa Goswami says that if one is offered varied foods but has no appetite, the offering has no value. In a big sacrificial ceremony, there may be many things accumulated to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if there is no devotion, attachment, or love for the Lord, the arrangement is useless. The Lord has completed himself, and he does not need anything from us. However, if we offer him a little water, a flower, and a tulsi leaf, he will accept them. Bhakti, devotional service, is the main way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not a question of arranging huge sacrifices. The priests were regretful, thinking that they were not on the path of devotional service and their sacrifice was not pleasing to the Lord. That was the case, but actually they had called him and he came because of Nabi's devotion. They continued, all of life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly, and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. So he doesn't need anything from anyone. Your unlimited enjoyment, his very existence, is composed of unlimited enjoyment. Your unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. So what can anyone give to him? What does he require? As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us so that we may be benefited by your Lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitive results, and they are not actually needed by you. Purport. Being self-sufficient, the Supreme Lord does not need huge sacrifices. fruit of activity for a more opulent life is for those who desire such material opulence for their interests, yajna. Tat karmano nyata loko yam karma bandana. If we do not act to satisfy the Supreme Lord, we engage in Maya's activities, illusion. We may construct a gorgeous temple and spend thousands of dollars. But such a temple is not required by the Lord. The Lord has many millions of temples for his residence, and he does not need our attempt. He does not require opulent activity at all. Such engagement is meant for our benefit. If we engage our money in constructing a gorgeous temple, we are freed from the reactions of our endeavors. This is for our benefit. In addition, if we attempt to do something nice for the Supreme Lord, he is pleased with us and gives us his benediction. In conclusion, the gorgeous arrangements are not meant for the Lord's sake, but for our own. If we somehow or another receive blessings and benedictions from the Lord, our consciousness can be purified and we can become eligible to return home back to Godhead. Text 9. O Lord of Lords, we are completely ignorant of the execution of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, the process of liberation, because we do not actually know the goal of life. So they were engaging in sacrifices, but not truly aware of anything beyond the rituals that they were performing. They didn't actually know the goal of sacrifice and the goal of life. You have appeared personally before us, like a person soliciting worship, as if you were asking us to worship you. But actually, you are present here just so we can see you. You have come out of your abundant and causeless mercy in order to serve our purpose, our interest, and give us the benefit of your personal glory called Apavarga, liberation. You have come, although you are not properly worshipped by us due to our ignorance. Prabhupada's purport. Lord Vishnu was personally present at the sacrificial arena, but this does not mean that he had any interest in his own personal benefit. Similarly, the Archa Vigraha, the deity in the temple, is present for the same purpose. Out of his causeless mercy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead presents himself before us so that we can see him. So here Prabhupada is explaining another important concept for us to put in place within our mentality while performing devotional service, and that is, when Krishna asks us to do some service, it is not that he needs patram pushpam palam toyam. He doesn't need the leaves and flowers and fruits and water that we offer, or the money that we offer, or the handkerchiefs that, or flowers that we offer, or the water that we offer on the altar, or to dress him nicely. It's not that he needs these things, the peacock feathers and the jewelry and the beads. It's not that he needs that, but we need to be able to be offering something to him. And what he wants from us is the devotion of the offering. So out of his causeless mercy, he comes in a form, a deity form that we can see. We can only see material things like stone and wood, and therefore he accepts a form of stone and wood, and thus accepts our service in the temple. This is an exhibition of the Lord's causeless mercy, although he has no interest in such things. In order to receive our loving service, he agrees to act as he does. We cannot actually offer suitable paraphernalia for the Lord's worship, because we are completely ignorant. It was out of his causeless mercy that the Lord appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabi. So the priest continued. O most worshipable of all, you are the best of all benefactors. That means you are the highest benefactor. You can give what no other benefactor can give. And your appearance at saintly King Nabi's sacrificial arena is meant for our benediction. Because you have been seen by us, you have bestowed upon us the most valuable benediction.
Text 11.
Dear Lord, all the great sages who are thoughtful and saintly persons incessantly recount your spiritual qualities. This is the activity of a sadhu, a saintly person. They're engaged in glorifying the Lord and his qualities. These sages have already burned up the unlimited dirty things in their heart. And by the fire of knowledge, they have strengthened their detachment from the material world. Thus they have attained your qualities and are self-satisfied. Yet, even for those who feel spiritual bliss in chanting your attributes, your personal presence is very rare. So they were acknowledging that even saintly persons, very rarely, who get pleasure in chanting the glories of the Lord, very rarely can actually see him. Prabhupada explains this in his purport. The Lord's appearance is very rare, even for great saintly persons who have become completely detached from the material world and whose hearts are clean due to constantly chanting the glories of the Lord. Such people are satisfied by chanting the transcendental qualities of the Lord. The Lord's personal presence is not actually required. Prabhupada continues, the priests are pointing out that the Lord's personal presence is very rare even for such elevated sages, but that he was so kind to them that now he was personally present. Therefore, they felt very obliged to him. And then very humbly they said, Dear Lord, we may not be able to remember your name, form, and qualities due to stumbling, hunger, falling down, yawning, or being in a miserable disease condition at the time of death when there is a high fever. We therefore pray unto you, O Lord, for you are very affectionate to your devotees. Please help us remember you and utter your holy names, attributes, and activities, which can dispel all the reactions of our sinful life. So at the time of death, this is the ultimate benediction, practically speaking. Ante Narayana Smriti. At the time of death, if we remember God, if we remember Krishna with great devotional love, then we will go to Krishna when we leave this body. But there is no guarantee that we'll be able to do that, because death is the most frightening of times. The most frightening of times. And one's mind does not work at the time of death. One's body does not work at the time of death. One's heart will cease beating. One can't breathe properly. There's pain everywhere. One can't see. One can't hear. One can't speak. One has no strength in one's arms or legs. One can't digest. And when all that's going on, it may not be very easy to think, oh, maybe I'm going to die soon. I think it's probably good if I start to remember Krishna's names, remember God. No, it's terrifying. Therefore, these priests are saying, the only benediction they're actually asking for when it comes down to it is his grace, so that they can remember him in life and in death. Remembering him, help us remember you and utter your holy names, attributes, and activities. Because when one chants the names of Krishna with a pure and loving heart, and one speaks or hears the names of Krishna or his qualities and glories, Krishna is actually there in that. Abhinatam namanamano. He's actually present in his name. He, the person, the name and the owner of the name are none different. So especially at the time of death, although we may be engaged in the Lord's devotional service, Prabhupada says, in the temple, material conditions are so tough and inevitable. They are inevitable. The roughness, the misery of material life is inevitable. We may not like to hear it, but it is inevitable. Practically speaking, when we're young, we don't even believe it. But misery in this body is inevitable. So someone may, even if one is a devotee, may forget the Lord at the time of death due to disease condition or mental derangement, and these things almost always happen. Therefore, we should pray to the Lord to be able to remember His lotus feet without fail at the time of death when we are in such a precarious position. So they continue in their prayer 13. Dear Lord, here is the great King Nabi, whose ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. Your Lordship has, his position is like that of a person approaching a very rich man and begging for a little grain. Maharaj Nabi is so desirous of having a son that he is worshipping you for a son, although you can offer him any exalted position, including elevation to the heavenly planets or liberation back to Godhead. Purport. The priests were a little ashamed that Maharaj Nabi was performing a great sacrifice just to ask the Lord's benediction for a son. The Lord could offer him promotion to the heavenly planets or to the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how to approach the Supreme Lord and ask him for the ultimate benediction. He said, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamani. He did not want to ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. Material opulence means riches, a nice family, a good wife, and many followers. But an intelligent devotee doesn't ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. His only prayer is Mama Janmani, Janmani Shade, Bhavadtal Bhaktir Haitikitai. He wants to be engaged perpetually in the loving service of the Lord. He does not want promotion to the heavenly planets or mukti, liberation from material bondage. If this were the case, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have said, who would not have said, Mama Janmani Janmani, it doesn't matter to a devotee whether or not he takes birth life after life as long as he remains a devotee. Actually, eternal liberty means returning home back to Godhead. A devotee is never concerned about anything material. This is practically inconceivable for us. A devotee is not concerned about anything material any more than a billionaire is concerned with pennies and 10 cents and 20 cent pieces. So it doesn't matter to a devotee. A devotee isn't concerned about anything material because his heart is bursting with devotional love for Krishna. Although Nabi wanted a son like Vishnu, like the Lord, wanting a son like God is also a form of sense gratification. A pure devotee wants only to engage in the Lord's loving service. Text 14. Dear Lord, so how to attain this consciousness which is so exalted that will carry us from the inevitable death of the body to the spiritual world? Text 14. Dear Lord, unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees, one will be conquered by the illusory energy and his intelligence will be bewildered. Indeed, who has not been carried away by the waves of material enjoyment, which are like poison? Your illusory energy is unconquerable. No one can see the path of this material energy or tell how it is working. So no one can get out of the material world by their own power. This is the system of getting out. One has to become the devotee of the Lord's great devotee. Otherwise, the material energy is so tricky. The material world is ununderstandable. One will get sucked in, no matter how wonderful he himself is. He's tiny and insignificant compared to the power of Maya or the illusory energy. So here's Prabhupada's explanation of this. Then there's one more verse and purport, and then the rest is quite quick. Prabhupada explains about this verse. Maharaj Nabi was inclined to perform great sacrifices for begetting a son. The son might be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but such a material desire, be it great or insignificant, is brought about by the influence of Maya, illusion. A devotee does not at all desire anything for sense gratification. Devotion is therefore explained as devoid of material desires, anya bilasita sanya. Everyone is subjected to the influences of Maya and entangled in all kinds of material desire. And Maharaj Nabi was no exception. Freedom from Maya's influence is possible when one engages in the service of the great devotees, Mahat Sharana Seva. Without worshipping the lotus feet of a great devotee, one cannot be freed from Maya's influence. Srila Narottama Das Thakur therefore says, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Paichikeva. Who has been freed from Maya's clutches without serving the lotus feet of a Vaishnava? Maya is aparajita, unconquerable, and her influence is also aparajita, unconquerable. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharateya. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. Only a devotee can surpass Maya's great influence. It was no fault on Maharaj Nabi's part that he wanted a son. He wanted a son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the best of all sons. By the association of the Lord's devotee, one no longer desires material opulence. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Saru Sangha, Saru Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kai, Lava Matra, Saru Sanghe, Sarva Siddhihai. And also in Madhyalila Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahat Kripa Vinakona Karma Bhakti Nai, Krishna Bhakti Dure Rahu Samsara Nahi Chai. If one is serious about escaping Maya's influence and returning home back to Godhead, one must associate with a sadhu, a devotee. That is the verdict of all scriptures. By the slight association of a devotee, one can be freed from the clutches of Maya. Without the mercy of the pure devotee, one cannot get freedom by any means. Certainly, a pure devotee's association is necessary in order to obtain the loving service of the Lord. One cannot be freed from Maya's clutches without sadhusanga, the benediction of a great devotee. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says, Naishamatis tavararukramangrim sprishadinata pagamo yadarta mahiyasham pararajo pishekam niskin jananam navanityavad. One cannot become the Lord's pure devotee without taking the dust of a great devotee upon his head, pararajo pishekam. A pure devotee is niskinchana. He has no material desire to enjoy the material world. One has to take shelter of such a pure devotee in order to attain his qualities. The pure devotee is always free from the clutches of Maya and her influence. So the priests conclude their prayers. O Lord, you perform many wonderful activities. Our only aim was to acquire a son by performing this great sacrifice. Therefore, our intelligence is not very sharp. We are not experienced in ascertaining life's goal. By inviting you to this negligible sacrifice for some material motive, we have certainly committed a great offense at your lotus feet. Therefore, O Lord of Lords, please excuse our offense because of your causeless mercy and equal mind. Hmm.
So they were feeling very embarrassed to having called him the Supreme Personality of Godhead and asked him for a son. But yet in the beginning, Sato Vidha Bhajante Mam Gyana Sukritina Vajana Arta Gigyasa Arta Ti Gyanita Bharatasava. When one is pious, if one has material desires, he will go to the Lord. So one can't expect purity in the beginning. But yet we should know that purity and love, loving devotional service to Krishna, is the goal. And we should get a very, very clear concept of that and move as quickly as we're able towards that. Text 16. So Sukadeva Goswami, who was narrating this to Prakrit Maharaj, said, "The priests who were even worshipped by King Nabi, the emperor of Bharatvarsha, offered prayers in prose, generally they were in poetry, and bowed down at the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord of Lords, the ruler of the demigods, was very pleased with them, and he began to speak as follows." So then he replies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, "He was pleased with them. They were very humble. And they had things, even though they perceived their hearts weren't pure, they at least understood the full situation." The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, "O great sages, I am certainly very pleased with your prayers. You are all truthful." Very important point. That truthfulness, born of introspection, brings humility, which makes up for the lacks that we have. Truthfulness about oneself and one's position brings humility. "You have prayed for the benediction of a son, and that will please the Lord. You have prayed for the benediction of a son like me for King Nabi, but this is very difficult to obtain. Since I am the Supreme Person without a second, and since no one is equal to me, another personality like me is not possible to find. In any case, because you are all qualified brahmanas, your vibration should not prove untrue. I consider the brahmanas who are well qualified with brahminical qualities to be as good as my own mouth. What comes out of the mouths of the brahmanas, the Lord stands behind. Since I cannot find anyone equal to me, I shall personally expand myself into a plenary complete portion and thus advent myself in the womb of Meru Devi, the wife of Maharaj Nabi, the son of Agnetra." Text 19. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "After saying this, the Lord disappeared. The wife of King Nabi, Queen Meru Devi, was sitting by the side of her husband, and consequently she could hear everything the Supreme Lord had spoken." And then the final verse in the chapter, Sukadeva Goswami says, "O Vishnu Datta, O Maharaj Prakrit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was pleased by the great sages at that sacrifice. Consequently, the Lord decided to personally exhibit the method of executing religious principles as observed by brahmacharis, sannyasis, vanaprasthas, and grihasthas engaged in rituals, and also satisfy Maharaj Nabi's desire. So he came with a specific purpose to demonstrate how to perform religious principles, and the other purpose was to act as the son of Maharaj Nabi, because that was his pure desire. Consequently, the Lord appeared as the son of Meru Devi in his original spiritual form, which is above the modes of material nature." So the Lord has no material form, but he has a form. His form is composed of pure spiritual energy, pure transcendental goodness. And why does he come? By his own desire, unforced, to teach the principles of religion. So, that was a lot of reading, and you all pretty good at sitting and keeping awake, attentive, thank you. Not easy. It's easier in one sense for the one who's reading. And talking, can't fall asleep. Although it's been done. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So it's pretty late, so we won't bother with any questions or anything. So tomorrow, another full chapter. Boy, it's I think that the next one has less purports. I thought those purports were so sweet by Prabhupada and really to the point and very direct about devotion and what it takes to please the Lord. And that last hint about humility and truthfulness is also very, very important. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Maharaj Rishabhdev, who is about to appear, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.